Welcome to episode number 92.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Road Trekking RV Lifestyle Podcast. No matter what kind of an RV you have, a motorhome, a towable trailer, a fifth wheel, a tent, even if you're just dreaming maybe someday about getting an RV, this show is for you, because here we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering interesting places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RVing lifestyle. So we welcome you. We are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. And this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas. By Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. By Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Verizon, the nation's largest, most reliable 4G LTE network. Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization with over 1.6 million members, now celebrating its 50th year. And Allstays, the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. Well, welcome everybody. We have lots to talk about in this episode, including an interview with an RVer who shares with us how he travels the back roads. That's kind of the theme, the roads less traveled, that we're going to talk about in an interview with him. And he's going to share how he's able to find things along the way that most people on the interstates just blow on past. Plus, we've got lots of email, tech tips, RV news, your questions and comments, a great off-the-beaten-path report from Western Oklahoma about another off-the-beaten-path place with a very unusual annual festival that's worth visiting just to get the T-shirt. I know they have to have a T-shirt for this. Well, you hear about that, all that coming up at the end of the program, towards the end of the program. So right now, though, it's time for my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello, Michael.
Are you ready to hit the Smoky Mountains this week?
I am.
We are really excited about that. We're off the at the end of the weekend, and then all next week we will be... This is really our second annual road trekking photo safari. Last year we did it in the Beartooth Mountains of Montana. This year we're in the Great Smoky Mountains in North Carolina and Tennessee, and this is going to be great fun. We got some great photographers there to help us get great photos. We're going to take hikes. Bo, our puppy, is even going to lead a hike for pets. That's going to be fun.
Oh, that should be lots of fun.
We haven't told Bo that. I guess he needs to prep on the area. Actually, this is his very first outing in the road trek, so we are approaching it with great trepidation.
I just went outside because he was barking. He was barking at our neighbor. He wanted our neighbor to pet him, but he was ripping apart one of our evergreens.
The dog
was? Yeah, I wonder what Bo's going to do when he sees a whole bunch of evergreens
trees
and things. Yeah,
I don't know. That's the trouble with a puppy, but we'll see. So Bo is getting ready for his first trip, and this will be his debut. Don't hold us responsible. We're doing the best we can with this puppy, but...
He's got a lot of energy.
He's got, yeah, let's just put it that way, a lot of energy. But I'm looking forward to it. So I think we'll do a lot of these Facebook Live reports next week.
That's fun.
Wasn't that fun doing that before?
That was fun.
Tens of thousands of people are watching those things. It's amazing.
Well, what do I say about that?
I don't know. Either people are really interested in it or they don't have much to do. But we will try and do a live report starting Monday, next Monday. That will be June 20th, I believe. Every day of the Monday through Thursday of the Great Smoky Mountains Photo Safari, we'll kind of highlight. Probably be towards 6 p.m. local time, whether it's 5 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central, I don't know, but right around that time. We'll post it on our Facebook group.
Rain or shine.
Rain or shine. So we'll have some fun with that. And we'll have lots of coverage on the blog as well, and some interviews. Next week's podcast will be recorded from there, and you get to meet some of the people. And so if you couldn't come, you can come and travel with us vicariously. But I'm anxious to get out on the road. We've been home about 3 weeks here, and it seems to be time again, isn't it?
It is. I'm ready to go.
All right. Speaking of being ready, you ready to work?
I am.
All right.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
This week's tip is a follow-up to the suggestion I made last week about using Ziploc bags to store all sorts of stuff, from food to spare parts to things like cereal, which can be emptied out of those big, bulky boxes and stored in much less space. A listener named Diane offers up an alternative suggestion. Let's listen to her.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Diane from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. I have a follow-up to Jennifer's tip of the week. And instead of using Ziploc bags, there's a system called ThriftyVac. You can use Ziplocs with this system, but their bags, which look like Ziploc bags, but they're a lot more durable plastic. With the pump system, you can easily get all the air out of your bag. Their advertising says it, one of their ThriftyVac bags can hold a vacuum for up to 2 years. I found it to be a very convenient way. It's small. It easily fits in one of the drawers of our 210 Popular, and is an easy way to make sure that food stays fresh and contained. Thanks. Love the broadcast.
The system Diane suggests is called ThriftyVac. It seals all kinds of foods in vacuum bags. It is very inexpensive, less than $20. The bags cost about 17 cents each. I'll put a link on the show notes page for this episode at roadtrekking.com/92. Thanks, Diane, for phoning that tip in. And if you have a tip you'd like to share with our RVing audience, use the send voicemail link on the right side of the roadtrekking.com blog. You can use the built-in microphone on your computer or smartphone to record the tip and send it directly to me. You can also reach me at jennifer@roadtrekking.com.
Now, Jennifer's tip of the week brought to you by Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization, now celebrating its 50th year. Are you a member of the Good Sam Club? Well, let me ask you this then. Do you want to save money on your RV adventures? That's why you need to go to this address, www.goodsam.com/roadtrekking, and join. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. Join. Now, it'll cost you $25 for a year, but when you do so, you'll get a free night's stay at one of the more than 2,000 Good Sam RV parks around the country, up to that $25 value. Plus, you will save much more. Every time you then go to a Good Sam Club park, a park that's affiliated with Good Sam, and again, there's 2,100 plus all around the country. Every time you go to one of them and you show them that new membership card you have, you'll save 10% off your nightly rate right there. Plus, there's more. If you go to a Pilot Flying J gas station, and we all need fuel, right? You get discounts on fuel with your Good Sam membership card. And then you can save at Camping World, the club's official RV accessory retailer. There are Camping Worlds and Camping World Supercenters all across this country. Sometimes they have prices for Good Sam members where you can save up to 30% on parts and accessories. You get special installation offers and annual inspections and free dump station privileges at Good Sam Camping World clubs and all that stuff. So just join. It's so simple. $25. You can't spend it any better than that. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. What are you waiting for?
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. I love your podcast and have viewed all of your videos. Great work. I recently ordered a 2017 SS Agile. I'm not expecting to get it until late summer or early fall, so I'll have to rely on your guys' podcast and videos to get me through until then. My question for you is, can I use my house current to power up everything in the RV, which is, I believe, a 30 amp? Aside from traveling around in it, I would love to use it when it's parked in my yard, plugged into the house, which means I'd like to use the AC and fridge and all the other amenities. So I was just wondering, do I need an adapter? Do I need to install 30 amp service? Anyway, thanks again, and look forward to your answering my question.
Okay, that caller is Mary Beth, and Mary Beth, you're going to have the longest summer as you wait for that brand new unit of yours coming, but it will be there. And I so thank you for the calls. Well, let's answer all these questions here. First, yes, you can hook it up directly to your house current while it is parked in your driveway, but here's the caveat. Most house current, if you just run like an extension cord out to it, that's only 15, usually 20 amps, and that is not enough to do everything that you want to do. It will charge your battery a little bit. It will run some lights and stuff like that, but it will not run the air conditioner. You need 30 amps to do that. So you have a couple of options. Oh, by the way, you will, if you're going to run that, you're going to need a adapter to take that standard three prong and to make it fit into the connector on your RV. So you need an adapter. You can get those at any camping store. You want a 20 amp to 30 amp adapter. That's all you need. However, you also asked, should you put in a 30 amp? Well, right now our road track is sitting out in our driveway and it is plugged in to a 30 amp supply. I leave it plugged in pretty much all the time. So my batteries are always topped off. Even though I have solar, there's some shade there and they're always topped off. And I can use it. I can run my air. I can run anything I want. So you do want to have a 30 amp supply if you're going to run it. Now, those of you with larger motorhomes, you want a 50 amp supply. 50 amp, your household current at 20 amps is not going to do much. It might trickle charge your house batteries, but that is about all it'll do. But on Class B, with a 30 amp system in the Class B motorhome, you want ideally have a 30 amp if you want to run all of those things, Mary Beth. But you know, to start off with, just get an adapter and you can plug the 20 amp in and you can do everything. It'll run your refrigerator and it'll power up everything you need except your air conditioner. To do that, you need to have the 30 amp in there. I did put a 30 amp in one for my own unit. And also when we have guests visit who are in a small motorhome, they can pull in to that spot and we got a nice spot for them there. So congratulations on your purchase, Mary Beth. And I am sure you are going to have an absolute ball out there. All right, let's take another question. This is from Ann. Hi, Ann.
Hello, this is Ann Koppel from Portland, Oregon. We own a 1990 Road Trek Versatile, and we're concerned about tire pressure. Our door sticker says 45 for the front, 80 for the back. But a website post said it would be 65 front and 80 for the back. What is the correct tire pressure for our rig? Also, we own three tires that were manufactured in 2012. They still passed the quarter test, but we're wondering if we should replace those tires yet. Thank you. We'll look forward to your answer.
All right. A little glitch in your audio file that you sent us, Ann, but I think we got the gist of it. Well, let's talk, first of all, in replacing the three tires. I assume you have four tires, not six, so you don't have dualies. I don't think you have to replace them. I would take it to a reputable tire dealer and have them look, see how much tread, how well it looks, and go with what they say. Now, as to the proper tire pressure, you noted that you checked the door post there on your RV and it gave you a recommendation, but then you went online and somebody recommended different settings. There is where the problem is. That's these so-called armchair engineers out there on the internet who all have a theory about how it should work, offer their suggestions as gospel. But here's the thing. How much do they really know, Ann? You want to go with what the manufacturer represented. Every RV model is loaded with all sorts of different configurations. The load on the tires varies. And for this reason, the actual air pressure required should be determined based on the load of each individual tire. And the people who know that best are the people who built the RV. So that's what they put on the doorpost. That is your vehicle's suggested tire pressure, and always go with that. What a lot of people do is they underinflate their tires because they think that that will give them a, quote, smoother ride. But listen, underinflation is extremely risky for your back tires, especially because of a higher risk to damage because of road hazards. It reduces what they call the casing durability of the tire. It causes a loss in your fuel economy. And then you get uneven or irregular tire wear from it. And if you run a lot with underinflation, you get increased risk of tread separation. It's not a good idea to lower that tire pressure. It's dangerous. It's relatively ineffective. And despite what the, quote, armchair engineers may post, always go with what the manufacturer of your RV suggests. And they post that right on your doorpost. Just today, I'm recording this on Tuesday, the day before the podcast is released on the 15th of June. And just today, I came back about a half hour ago from putting six new Michelin tires on our road trek. And the first thing the guy says, what do you want for tire pressure? And I says, what do they suggest on the doorpost? And the guy looked at me and he says, I wish more people asked that or answered that the same way. So they even agreed. Now, you should, by the way, also check your tire pressure from time to time. I'd say if you use it a lot, once a month, certainly before every major trip. And you want to check it in the morning before you drive, because it should be checked cold tire pressure before you've driven that day. Tire pressure ratings have been designed with typical running and heat pressure buildup in mind. So check them. Check it if you have dualies. I don't think you do, but those of you who do like me, also be sure and check the air pressure on the inside tires and make sure that the valves and the caps are free of dirt and moisture. But that should help you. I will put a link to some helpful advice about tire inflation from the folks at Goodyear Tires, Goodyear RV Tires. And it's just it's for their tires specifically, but it's good general advice about everybody for RV tire pressure. So I hope that answered. Trust your manufacturer, what they say. If you have questions about it, don't go to the armchair engineers on the internet. Go to the manufacturer. Almost any manufacturer will welcome your calls. I don't know of any that won't, and they'll tell you what it should have. Tell them your model number. But they put it on that door post for you so that you won't ever have to worry. Hope that answers your question, and I appreciate you using our leave voicemail feature on the roadtrekking.com blog. All right, let's do a couple more. Here's another.
Hi, Mike. What is the best portable barbecue for a road trek? Ours is 2010, and it's a 210 popular. And we're looking for a portable barbecue and wondering if you have a recommendation. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That comes from Craig. Craig, it's funny you would ask that today, because I got home from the tire store to find the UPS guy in my driveway, and he dropped off for me a brand new grill that we're going to test out called the Volcano Grill. Now, I have not tested this out. However, I have seen the video. I really like it. The company contacted me to tell me about this, and they said that they would send me one to check out, and they have. And I look forward to giving this a try over the summer. But I am very impressed about this grill. It's a 3-in-1 grill. In other words, it uses three different kinds of fuel. This Volcano Grill will cook with propane, with charcoal, or even wood, and plus it then converts in kind of like a little small campfire ring, and it all folds up really nice. It folds, collapses down into about a 5-inch high bundle, and it has a really nice carrying case, so you can easily store it in the back of your RV. Sets up in just seconds. You just grab a handle, lift it up. You can also use it as a Dutch oven. It'll work with woks, and you can bake and roast. And like I said, it's a portable fire pit. I am really impressed with this thing. I didn't do anything other than take it out of the box and look at it. I looked online. It cost $149. It will work with a, it'll connect to a standard 20-pound propane tank. Or you can get an optional adapter for those little portable bottles that are sold separately. So this is the Volcano Grill. You can watch the roadtrekking.com blog. I will test this out from time to time and over the summer, and I will give you a review on it and a video in the weeks ahead. So that's the first one I mentioned. And this is getting a lot of real positive buzz among RVers because it is really so versatile. I love the fire pit angle of it as well, especially when you're out boondocking. Now, there's two other grills that I've had experience with. The first is just a standard Coleman grill. It's a little camping grill that folds up, has a little portable propane bottle that you can get anywhere. Has two burners, and we use that a lot. I have been relying on that mostly in our RV travels. And then the other grill that that we have is the GoSun Solar Grill. And this is, you can find that at the roadtrekkingstore.com. This is a really interesting grill. And there's a video, if you search that, I'll put a link on the show notes for this episode. But this actually uses solar power to cook. And it is a really cool little device. It's pretty expensive. It's a couple hundred bucks, two and a half, I think, 250, something like that. But it's really neat. We did a cookout at one of our gatherings last year among everybody who had one. And it was amazing, the stuff, the great things people cook just using solar power. And it even cooks when it's cloudy. So those are the three I would recommend. This is a little Coleman propane grill. It's a camping grill that everybody sells. You can get that anywhere. The GoSun solar heater. And even though I have not tried it yet, this Volcano grill, this 3-in-1 grill, like I say, propane, you can then use charcoal, you can use wood, and it's very well built. Weighs like 26 pounds, so it's not something light. It's a really high quality looking device, and I am really impressed with it. So I'll let you know if it holds up to that reputation after we get a chance to try it. All right, time for one more question. This is Gwen. Hi, Gwen.
Hey, Mike. Gwen Harris here from Whispering Pines, North Carolina. I have two questions. One is, what is the maximum length of an RV I can buy and still fit in a regular parking spot, like just pull into a supermarket or a restaurant and fit in there easily? And the other question is, how do you go about using the coordinates when somebody gives you like GPS coordinates of a place that's easier to find like that? Is there an app for your phone that you plug in the coordinates, or how does that work? Look forward to hearing your response, and thank you for these great podcasts. I'm loving them.
Well, thank you, Gwen. All right, let's talk about RV length first of all. Standard parking space. Now, they vary. There are some really big ones, some really wide ones, and some really narrow ones. But in general, the maximum RV length that will easily fit into one parking spot is about 19 to 20 feet. Anything over 19 feet really is not going to fit all within a standard parking spot. Now, that said, ours is a little over 21 feet long. I have the Roadtrek CS Adventurous XL, and I can always find a spot. I use this all the time when we're out in the RV world. This is how we travel. We go to shopping centers and stores and supermarkets and movies, and just like we'd use a regular car, and I always find a spot. Now, sometimes if it's a spot where there's like two spots, you know, one in front of the other, you're going to take up a little bit over the second spot. There's no way around it. So I always would go to the back of the lot where there's not a lot of traffic if I'm going to take up two spots. But that said, most of the time I look for the sides or the back of the parking lot where they have pull-in sites that they usually have a little concrete barrier that designates the end. So I'll either drive front in or back in, and I will put my tires, my front tires or my back tires, right against that little concrete spot, meaning that I hang over the barrier at the back, which almost always is on grass, and then it fits in just fine. So you won't have any real trouble. And we do this at we're driving down the freeway. If that's where we're going, we pull into a fast food place, we always can find a spot. Now, anything much larger than that would have some difficulties with, but I just don't have problems. So that answers your question about the parking space. Now you ask about GPS coordinates. And that's where somebody will say, hey, we're at 26.9.14.3 north or whatever. And they'll give you this string of numbers. And that's what the, are called GPS coordinates. And what you want to do is you're going to do something called entering a waypoint. What it really is, a waypoint is just this unique address, just like you have a house address, but this is a unique waypoint address for any point in the world, but instead of the traditional street and city and state and zip code, it uses waypoints expressed in mapping formats such as latitude and longitude. That's what those numbers in those that string represents. So on your GPS, everyone is a little different how this happens. So you want to get the manual out. You want to look at, find the menu page and scan through it or look at the instructions. You want to find out how do you mark or find a waypoint. And they'll all give you different selections. One of the easiest things is to look through and find something that says mark. And this is a feature on your GPS in which you say you found this great boondocking spot and you want to be able to get to it again, but it's not on a road. It's just in the middle of nowhere. So you'd go into your GPS and you'd use the phrase mark, or some of them might say set a waypoint. So if you click that, you select that option or press the button, you'll get a confirmation screen, and then it will show the coordinates for your current location. So that's great if you want to remember that always, and you can just put that in there. But instead of selecting OK for those coordinates or otherwise confirming that you want to record that location, just scroll down to the coordinate section and highlight and then select by pressing the Enter key. That will allow you now to enter the coordinates that you want to get to. And then it's a matter of just looking under destinations. There you've got them set. You can plug it in. This all varies with the manufacturer of the GPS unit you have, right? But all of them will allow you to mark or set a waypoint, and most of them will allow you to go to a direction. But you're going to have to look in the manual a little bit and see, because every GPS works just a little bit differently, but almost all of them have that function. Now, you ask about apps. There are apps out there that will help you do this, particularly with the rise of geocaching or hunting for like little souvenirs and trinkets, and people give you the coordinates and you got to look in that general area to find them. That's a very popular activity these days. So there's lots of apps that'll do it. But if you're using an iPhone, try the Go to Coordinates app. Go to Coordinates. If you have an Android or a smartphone, you can use the Map Coordinates app. Both pretty much do the same thing. I will put links to all of this stuff on the show notes page. I know many of you are listening to us as you're driving, and it's hard to keep track of all these resources I give you. So that's why we have a show notes page. The show notes page is always on the blog. And the address of this one is roadtrekking.com/92. This is the 92nd episode of this podcast. Boy, it's hard to believe. And anyway, that will open up the app or open up a blog post where I have all my show notes for this episode. And I even have little time code on there. So as you look through those notes, you can click on that time and you can then go back and listen to it at that spot. But where I talk about a resource like these apps, I always link to them as well. And you find that on the show notes page. So I hope this helps. We want to remind you, I love getting your questions. It's great when Jennifer and I get your messages and your questions, because you're a part of this program too. Here's how you can get your question, your comment, your suggestion on a future episode of the podcast.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class B motorhomes from three locations. So are you in the market for Class B? Now, as you know, they are in extremely high demand. And that is why you want to check with these three dealers first. VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. Three dealers that specialize in Class B RVs. And they carry RVs from all of the major Class B manufacturers. They have new, they have used models in stock on the lot right now, and they are ready to deal. They sell road treks and pleasure ways and leisure travel vans and Class B and B Plus and other small motorhomes. So visit VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, WagonTrailRV.com. And that's the beauty of the internet, because you can shop around from the comfort of your home or your campground. You can zero in on the exact model that you're interested in. You can make your best deal with them. And because they're in three different areas of the country, they all have this great fly and drive program. They'll pick you up from the airport and then reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then your RV is fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Dan the Van Man offers up the latest specials for us.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we got some great deals on some brand new road treks in stock. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, or WagonTrailRV.com. Call us and make an offer. We also are having our 46th anniversary celebration next week. That's June 16th, 17th, and 18th. We'll have a lot of the factory reps on hand to answer a lot of your questions and some of the desirable leisure travel B Plus models in stock. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com or give us a call at 1-800-467-3905.
Time now for RV basic training. Tips, tricks, and how-to info to make you a happy camper.
All right, we have talked in past episodes here of RV Basic Training about Class A motorhomes, what you need to know about the big guys, the Class A motorhomes. We've talked about towables and travel trailers. And now in this week's edition of RV Basic Training, what you need to know about buying a Class B RV or a camper van, as they are typically called. Buying an RV is perhaps the second biggest purchase most of us will make next to our house. And in some cases, with kids grown and maybe newly retired from our jobs, it becomes our house as more and more people embrace the full-time style of life on wheels. And these days, Type B RVs seem to be at the top of the motorhome popularity chart. Many who bought larger Type A or Type C motorhomes are downsizing or right-sizing, as some call it. And the very mobile, maneuverable Type B camper van is what a lot of people are being drawn to. For one thing, new retirees are coming into the marketplace every day. Today's retirees are generally healthier, more active than those who came before. The first baby boomers turned 65 about 4 years ago. And according to a Social Security Agency report, over the next two decades, about 80 million Americans will become eligible for Social Security benefits, more than 10,000 a day. So when it comes to looking at a Class B, what are the questions? What are the things you need to know? Now, we could have gone to dealers and they would have told you what you wanted to know. They would have probably told you about, you want to know about the stuff that would make you buy the stuff on their lot. And that's good. There's probably some great things to learn from that. But instead, I turn to members of our very active road trekking Facebook group. These are really the true experts whose collective wisdom is, I think, more reliable and more real world than any of the pie in the sky promises you might get from a commission hungry salesman. So let me offer some of the tips, and I'm going to put a slightly edited version of about 50 suggestions and comments that I received. So it weeds out the duplicate content or it adds a little clarity. And I've edited out specific references to a particular maker model so you can get as unbiased information as possible. And I'll put a link to the whole report on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/92. But here's a couple of them. Kirsten says, one of my biggest disappointments was the RV dealer service after the sale. Buyers need to do their research on the dealer and ask for references and recommendations. Linda writes, the advantages and disadvantages you need to know between a gas unit, between a diesel unit, between a Mercedes chassis, a Dodge chassis, a Chevy chassis. Ask and know so you have a plus and minus list on all of them. Karen says, I see a big distraction in the personalities of RVers. I find it important to just go into many different RV units, look around, and imagine yourself spending your time in them and with whom. Only after the more technical questions can be answered, because the selection has narrowed down then to the ones that the unit you're most comfortable with. Nancy also talks about dealer service, quality, and she says proximity. You don't want to have to drive across the state to get service. One other question to ask yourself before purchase, if you're not full-timing, is where are you going to park it? How big can it be to fit there? What about weathering in the snow and sunlight? Will you need a cover? Do you have HOA restrictions? Questions to ask. Darlene says, first thing I look for is the size of the bed. That's number one for me. And then storage. It is especially important if you plan to spend several weeks or months living in it. Do you plan to eat your meals in the B? Or do you plan to eat out a lot, a combination of the two? We do the combination, so the size of the refrigerator is not as important as it would be to somebody who's going to be on the road more longer than us. And then Deborah says, we were coming out of an Airstream trailer and right-sizing ourselves into a B. The primary issues for us were something where I could share the driving, as I pretty much refused to drive when towing a trailer. I want a comfortable and spacious bed, and I want a usable galley with decent refrigerator space. My husband wanted the Mercedes diesel for mileage and safety, so those were the only models that we considered, and we are also not retired, but within a few years, we plan to spend a lot more time roaming, and we wanted a nimble footprint for that. So that was Deborah, who suggests that both people, if it's a husband-wife or it's a couple, that both the people should be able to be drivers. So I will put a link to about 50 other suggestions, then you'll find them all edited down on the show notes for this episode, which is at roadtrekking.com/92. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. Campers Inn is a pretty neat outfit. They're a fairly new sponsor to the podcast. And as a part of that, they're offering up the ultimate camping package. This is a great giveaway. It's not going to cost you anything. You can go online. Just go to campersinn.com/roadtrekking. Campersinn.com. Campers Inn is all one word. Campersinn.com/roadtrekking. And then you get a chance to win. You want to enter the promo code camping. And they're going to give away all sorts of stuff. A great propane grill, a large cooler, two really nice camping chairs, a two-person lazy river tube, and lots more. $500 value. Absolutely free. They're going to give it away. The winner will be announced August 1st. Campers Inn has been around for more than 50 years. They were founded in 1966 by Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob and David and Jeff. Art and Fran invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent trailers, and then they sold them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts. Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life. And 50 years and three generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. You will be very impressed with them. Their entire staff is highly professional, certified, trained service personnel. Everyone there at Campers Inn, driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect. Campers Inn, 15 locations on the East Coast.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, here's a kind of a grim story. You ever been caught on the road with a sudden burst of wind that came seemingly out of nowhere? It's a good reason why you need to never go too fast and always have both hands on the wheel. Well, a man died in southern Colorado Sunday when a microburst apparently threw his RV trailer, it was on the back of his unit, about 40 feet. And this according to the Otero County Sheriff's Department in Colorado. 50-year-old man was killed. It happened near Highway 194 on County Road 33, about 15 miles from La Junta, Colorado. Man's name wasn't released. Pending an autopsy, the sheriff's office said deputies and the National Weather Service are investigating this death, but the suspicion was a microburst, one of those freak wind gusts. And it happens in the mountains there where it funnels down. Those mountains can funnel things through and strange winds. It's a sad story, but hold on to your unit and always wear your seatbelt. Be very careful. We'll let you know if we get more details on this story as it develops, but be careful. In Elkhart, Indiana, Evergreen RV dealership, RV dealership in Middlebury, just near Elkhart. At one time, one of the fastest growing RV companies in the nation has closed its doors. It happened very suddenly. Hundreds of employees, like 400 people, out of work. There were lots of rumors that suddenly started to circulate about the company's demise last week. And then company officials still have not officially responded to repeated calls seeking comment. But employees and county officials said they shut down their operations last Friday. And everybody was out of there. They were finishing up a couple of bills, and then everything was going to be auctioned off. So don't know what about it. These are mostly travel trailers, Evergreen RV, no more. Company employed about 400 people. If there's a silver lining to this, it's the fact that Elkhart, which is sort of the RV, it's sort of like the Detroit, as Detroit is to the automotive industry, Elkhart is to the RV industry. The RV industry is booming, and lots of hiring going on. So hopefully these 400 employees from Evergreen will be able to get new jobs. One more story. This happened, and this is a story we first reported on last year. And as they began, actually, it's a couple of years we've been talking about this. The defacing of rocks at national parks. Well, they finally have wound its way through court, and a San Diego woman who painted and drew on treasured natural rock formations at national parks across the West and then shared her work openly on social media has pled guilty to defacing government property. Her name is Casey Knockett. She's 23, and she appeared in federal court in Fresno, California, pled guilty to 7 misdemeanors for the autumn 2014 painting spree at 7 national parks, including Yosemite in California and Zion in Utah. She also admitted to defacing rocks at Crater Lake National Park in Oregon and Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado. And then she would use Instagram and Tumblr social media apps to document her trip and her graffiti-like work. And was not met kindly. This led to broad outrage on social media. Well, it took a while, but they finally made her way through, and she was sentenced to 2 years probation and 200 hours of community service. The vandalism, the Park Service says, caused serious cleanup problems. They have to sandblast and chemical strip off all this paint to remove it, and that may even cause more damage to irreplaceable natural features. At 2 of the parks, Crater Lake and Death Valley in California, the cleaning is yet to be completed almost 2 years later. They're going to have a hearing a little later on. They're going to determine how much restitution she must pay. But hopefully this will end that policy with a strong crackdown and her pleading guilty to these charges, and the national park now seeking restitution. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi. A-L-D-E, it's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi hydronic system is what we're talking about. And what does that mean? Well, it's the same kind of heat you find in very high-end homes. Radiant baseboard heat, that's what we're talking about in your RV with the Aldi hydronic system, bringing you all those features and benefits that you cannot find in any other RV product. For one thing, the Aldi hydronic system is a silent, radiant heat. It provides a warm, even, natural, heated interior. None of that dryness, none of that irritating noise that comes from forced air heating systems that you find in most other RVs. So this is great comfort for you. You're not going to dry out. Your pets will love it. Because it combines two systems in one, your heating and your water heating system, you get increased interior space, you get more efficiency. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC and extends the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. You get lots of options and amenities you can choose from. You can have towel warmers, you can get tank heating, you can get four-season camping. The one that Jennifer and I have is floor heating. Is that nice? On those cold mornings or chilly nights, we can pat around in our bare feet or our stocking feet, and the floor is heated. It's warm. It is so nice, especially when you get up in the middle of the night. All run through a very modern, programmable, color touchscreen thermostat, very simple to operate. You will love it. It's now available on many different RV manufacturers, including Road Trek. The Aldi hydronic system. It is the only name that you need to know when you are choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
All right, there's so many things that technology makes traveling easier with. And one of the things out there that is a really great service that I wonder how many of you have taken advantage is called mobile payments. Mobile payments. Using your smartphone to handle the things that, well, you used to have your wallet for. Here's our pal Verizon's Steve Van Dinter with an overview of mobile payment. Hi, Steve.
Hi there, Mike. Have you ever hit the road only to realize you've left your wallet at home? In the past, of course, that would have been a trip-ending move. But today, thanks to mobile payment technologies, as long as you have your smartphone, you're in luck. Mobile payment isn't just a fad that millennials are trying out. It can be an easier and, in many cases, a more secure way to pay. That's because rather than sending your credit card number to a terminal like happens when you physically swipe your card, when you tap your phone, it instead exchanges a secure token. Mobile payment has been around for years as well, beginning with Google's NFC-based payment system called Google Wallet in 2011. Since then, Google Wallet has grown up into what we know today as Android Pay, and Apple, of course, launched Apple Pay for iPhones, both of which rely on NFC technology and are accepted anywhere you see the contactless payments icon. In addition to Android Pay, Samsung phones also have Samsung Pay, which uses NFC and MST, which stands for Magnetic Secure Transfer, allowing you to pay at any swipe-enabled reader, not just the ones that are wireless pay-enabled. If you haven't tried it with your S7 Edge, Mike, you need to check it out. It's very easy, and it works great. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Oh, you know, I got my Android S7 Edge on Steve's recommendation, and that was the first thing I did is add the Android Pay or the Samsung Pay actually from it. It's a unique app that Samsung has. Actually, it's accepted in more places than Apple. Or even the old Google Pay. So I'm really excited about that. One of the things that is nice about it is so secure. People don't realize that it is more secure than handing somebody your credit card because you don't know where they're going with that credit card. Anyway, if you haven't used it, forget all the acronyms that Steve said. It's not that complicated. You just use an app, enter in the information. It saves it. It's all encrypted. And you're good. And if you lose your phone, nobody can use it with you because they've got to have your password and all that identifying stuff that only you can provide. So there you go. Check it all out. Hey, I've got some apps for you too. And this kind of picks up the theme on one of our earlier questions about barbecue. Got me thinking about that. I don't think there's an outside activity that is shared more among RVers than making great grill meals, cooking outside with our grills. Well, you know, when you don't do well, it can be disastrous. I mean, RVers love cooking out. And I have three apps that will help you improve your chances for a successful RV campsite barbecue. Okay, here they go. And again, I will put links to these on our show notes page. The first one is called Pit Pal Barbecue. This is an app that works for iOS and Android. And it actually gives you a bit of science to the whole barbecue process because you end up logging all these details, you know, like where you are, what the weather's like, the temperature, what you're cooking with, whether it's wood or charcoal or gas. There are all these variables from food type and weight, whether you're adding a sauce, a rub, or more. And it takes all this information, jumbles it together, and then it tells you exactly how you should prepare that food once it's on the grill, how long you should cook it, and how to do it. It's really a pretty cool app. It's free for iOS and Android. And like a lot of apps, there are in-app purchases that you can buy for more functions. But try that out, the Pit Pal Barbecue app. Another one that I like a lot is called the Grill It app, Grill It. And this, again, for iOS and Android. This one costs 99 cents. This is a recipe app. Lots and lots of recipes for barbecue fans. You get tips on how to marinate, how to grill certain kinds and cuts of food. Very easy to navigate app. Lots of information on 7 different categories from beef and lamb to poultry and pork and burgers. 99 cents. And then you got to have steak, right? Everybody has to have steak sometime. Well, Omaha Steaks Steak Time app is limited to, you guessed it, steaks. This app features recipes for just about every possible cut of steak you have, and even has kind of like a steak 101 section to help users understand everything they ever wanted to know about grilling a steak. But the best part of this app is the steak timer part of it. Now, if you're cooking, you know, somebody wants it medium, somebody's medium rare, somebody's well done, you can run this steak timer, and it includes multiple steaks, and it will then tell you, you can watch independently that this one should be cooked this long, and Bob's should be cooked this long, and your wife's should be cooked this long, so everybody is happy. I really like this app. It only works on iOS for Apple devices, but it's called Omaha Steaks Steak Time. And that's a pretty cool app for you steak aficionados out there. As part of the podcast, the traveling tech part brought to you every week by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. And they're the official technology provider for the Road Trekking RV podcast. With more than 112 million retail connections nationwide, when Verizon says better matters, they mean it. Only Verizon ranked highest in three leading network studies. Multiple tests year after year, Verizon ranks number one in network quality performance. When it comes to network quality in the United States, J.D. Power ranks Verizon highest across all six regions among U.S. wireless providers. Verizon ranks number one in network performance satisfaction. Verizon ranked number one in network performance satisfaction for 33 consecutive quarters based on an analysis of recent data from Nielsen. It also ranks highest in overall network performance. In the nation's largest independent study, Verizon was rated number one in overall network performance in the United States by RootMetrics for the fifth consecutive testing period. Can your network say that? If you're stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon and get yourself unstuck.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Well, our regular Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett, were out in the middle part of this country and far off the beaten path. And they've got a great report for us about a place in western Oklahoma that you're going to want to check out. But not only is this off the beaten path, they happen to host an annual event that, well, as I said at the very opening, you're going to want to go to just so you can get the t-shirt. I'm sure there is a t-shirt there. I didn't find one, but I'm sure when you go into town, they have one for this event. And this would be a great conversation starter. Here's Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer. Wow, it's summer travel season again, and the interstates are getting crowded. Good reason to leave them behind for roads less traveled. Western Oklahoma fits that particular bill quite nicely, and we'd like to tell you about an event that requires a bit of pre-planning if you want to be in the right place at the right time.
The town is Beaver, Oklahoma, on US 64, and it's not really close to anything else. The road is good, views are vast as you drive the rolling agricultural hills, and there's a nice state park just outside of town. While there, you can visit the Jones and Plummer Trail Museum, staffed by very enthusiastic docents.
The real reason to go, though, happens the second weekend in April, when Beaver hosts the International Cow Chip Throwing Championship. It's a county fair atmosphere at the Beaver County Fairgrounds. The fun kicks off on Friday night when local cowhands and high schoolers gather for the rodeo. Racing and roping rule the arena under the lights, and you can have your fill of fair food, midway rides, carnival games, and local music performances. On Saturday, after the mile-long parade, everyone gathers for the big event. The locals call it the cow chip. The wagon of officially sanctioned cow pies is wheeled to the line, and the contestants, anyone can enter, take their time making the perfect selection.
As you might expect, candidates for local political office make the ceremonial first throws. This year, most were duds, but one burly rancher running for state senate managed an impressive 114 feet. The team throws were met with less enthusiasm when some of the not-quite-dry patties broke up in the air and rained down on the spectators. It was a very windy day.
The women's champion threw 144 feet, and the men's winner managed 168. "Ain't as good as last year," said the local man standing next to me. "Last year, he threw near 185. I allowed as how I might be back next year to give it a try myself. Bit of advice, he said with a grin. Lick your fingers good between your first and second throw. Gives it a better spin in the air.
Besides the Beaver Dunes State Park, there are some great boondocking sites in the Rita Blanca National Grassland to the west and the Black Kettle Grassland to the south.
Western Oklahoma may not draw the crowds, but you're guaranteed to see things there you won't see anywhere else. Happy travels.
Thank you, Tom and Patty Burkett, for your report. And I got to go out there. I said I'd love that T-shirt. There's got to be a cow chip throwing contest T-shirt from Beaver, Oklahoma. Really appreciate that report. Hey, if you've got an off-the-beaten-path report, we'd love you to share it with our audience. And if I use your off-the-beaten-path report on the podcast, I'll send you a free road trekking hat. Just use the leave voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. And you know, when you're out there off the beaten path and you're looking for places to stay, what do you do? Well, if you have the AllStays app, you are in good hands. No, AllStays has nothing to do with the insurance company. AllStays is an app, and it is the number one RV and camping app since 2010. AllStays has been providing traveler information for 16 years with a free website, now an enhanced subscription website as well, and of course their apps. The Camp and RV app is the number one app and has been for years. All of the data on this app is stored inside the app. That means it's going to work very fast and constant information without, even if you lose your cell service for some reason, you still have it all on the app. Most points also have text directions inside the app all the time. They list camping spots of every possible kind, from private resorts, from county parks, down to roadside pull-offs in the forest. You can filter by camping type or by club, Good Sam, family motor coach, whatever you want to know. 30 different amenities that you can search for. Say you need, we got to do laundry tonight. We want full hookups. We want a truck stop that has a Subway next to it. You can filter for all of this stuff. Thousands more places like Walmarts and Cracker Barrels, even details about what side of the building the parking spots for RVs are on. You can read RV or parking reports, truck stop and rest stops, dump stations. Want to find where's the nearest place I can dump? It'll tell you. Supplies, RV services, bridges, any steep roads you should know about. AllStays offers all of it. And if you go to their website, they also have an opportunity to take AllStays Pro. You can subscribe to that. That's for those who prefer computers and their bigger screens. It works in your web browser with full screen maps. It has about 20% more of everything than the app. It's updated every day. More free spots, more camping stuff. So check out that. That's a really great tool. When we travel, listen, that's the only one we use. I love the AllStays Pro app because I've always got my Verizon data card with a Wi-Fi connection. So I go online and I'll pull that out. And then if I'm out walking around or someplace, I'll also pull out the app and use that. But it's the only one you need. AllStays, you can find a link to it on our show notes here at on the site. Hey, are you a part of our blog? Have you checked out the blog very often? Do you get to the blog? Do you even know what I'm talking about? Well, here's everything you need to know about roadtrekking.com.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
Well, you never know where you'll find somebody that has a story to share about how they travel. They do their road trekking travel style. And I'm actually in Hoekstra Transportation getting an oil change and ran into another road trekker. Tell us your name.
Jerry Pavlat.
And Jerry, what kind of an RV do you have?
I have a 2007 Road Trek Adventurous RS.
And you just returned from a 22-state trip. Just tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I didn't plan on going that far or that long, but I left Michigan, and my thing was I wanted to go to Key West, Florida. I had never been there before. and I was leaving Michigan in the ice and the snow, and I wanted to travel Interstate I-75 at least to get out of here, but they had a landslide down the Kentucky-Tennessee border, so I had to try and get around that, and so I drove surface routes all the way down. One of the problems, when I got down near Daytona, I happened to hit Daytona during bike week.
Uh-oh.
And there's thousands of motorcyclists there. And then when I did get to Key West, I happened to hit it on a Saturday and during spring break. And it's pretty busy, even with a small motor home, to try and find a parking place down there. But one of the ways that I travel is, once I get out of the ice and the snow, I like to put my GPS on no highways. And that way I'm traveling no interstates at all. My trip, I drove probably the first 4,000 miles and never drove on an interstate. And you run into so many interesting people and places. I really enjoyed it.
What was the highlight of your 22-state trip? It took you from Michigan to Oregon and back again.
I have to say there were so many highlights, I can't point one out. There were a couple interesting things I ran into, and one of them that really sticks in my mind is it's in Redding, California, and it's called the Sundial Bridge. Yeah. And the actual, you'll have to look it up to read all about it, but the actual pylon on one end is a sundial that sticks up in the air, and it casts a shadow along the bank of the river, and there's discs that mark the time, the hour.
Really? That's one of the neat things about traveling, that you find those kind of things. So your technique is you set the GPS, no highways. I think a lot of people forget about that. What kind of highways do you travel? You said you find a lot of them that travel right along the interstate, so you're really heading in the same direction, but you see all those little towns.
Yes, basically, our old road systems are right there within a few miles, almost running parallel to the interstates, and the roads are in very, very good condition. Some of them are divided four-lane highways, very few semis, very little traffic, and a lot of interesting things you find along the way going into these small towns.
Well, that is a great trip about setting your GPS for no highways. And one other thing that we were talking earlier that I thought is well worth sharing too is eating on the road. You have a goal that you set every day as you travel about eating your meals on the road.
Yes, I like to find a mom and pop restaurant in these small towns rather than go to the same restaurants you're going to find in every city around the country and eat one of their local meals, whatever their diet happens to be, Southwest or even in the UP pasties, whatever. I enjoy it.
That's great. And you're a solo traveler. It's just you and the road trek. Ever any issues about traveling alone? Obviously, you got a little bit more room than most people who travel in a Class B.
That, yes, is an advantage. Another advantage is I don't have to get an agreement as to where I go or where I stop.
You can follow the winds of serendipity.
Yes.
All right. Jerry, thanks for sharing your story.
Thanks. I'm glad to meet you, Mike. My pleasure.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, thank you so much to Jerry and all of the callers and the commenters and those who asked questions this week. It was great to have you on the podcast with us. Jennifer and I hit the road this week. We'll be at the Great Smoky Mountains Road Trekking Annual Photo Safari all next week. Listen, if you will, check out our Facebook group, and you can see we'll be doing live Facebook videos right from the scene every day, Monday through Thursday. So we hope you'll join us and be a part of that with us if you can't get down there in person. I want to thank you so much. If you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, please record that, leave voicemail message. Just click that right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or through Google Play. Be sure and also get our mailing list. Are you a part of that? We send out a free special newsletter to subscribers. More than 16,000 of you every Monday get an insider's newsletter. And you can sign up for that on the blog as well. And when you do, we give you a free packing list for your next RV trip. So anyway, thank you for being here. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendland on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our puppy, Bo, who's going to be making his first road trekking trip this week. We'll see you out there road trekking across North America. So long, everybody.